Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back, coming at you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle. Moving on to the second portion of the show, the Big Ten review. Ask Greg is coming up right after this. We've talked all about Penn State, Indiana. You can check those out on the Keystone Sports app and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. A lot of major changes in the Big Ten pecking order that we have to cover right here, right now. Not the least of which was Purdue 48, Ohio State 20. This was a game where, not unlike Penn State against Ohio State and unlike Michigan State against, Penn State against Michigan State, Purdue in this situation where they're leading, Ohio State getting a little bit of momentum going, and Purdue just stepped on their throat and ended up running away in that game. Rondale Moore, a huge factor, 12 catches in that one. They delivered a timely touchdown in the fourth. They win this game. It changes everything, really. But the reality is, Greg, I think Ohio State has been walking a pretty fine line for a while. You look back to Indiana where it was a slow start. Against Minnesota, it was a slow start. It took the better part of 30 minutes. It was the same deal against Penn State. You knew that at some point in time against a good team, and I you can say Purdue's a good team at this point, that this was going to come back and catch them, a team that didn't fade away late, and Purdue certainly didn't fade away late.
No, not at all. I mean, I tried to catch up a little bit of that game while writing, but it was kind of hard to do both, so I eventually just went back to writing about Penn State, Indiana. But I'll tell you what, Dustin, Ohio State didn't look like it belonged on the same field with Purdue. And I really can't believe those words just came out of my mouth, but it's true. I mean, they looked, from start to finish, nothing like a national title contender, nothing like a Big Ten title contender. I mean, I know Jeff Brohm's team has had some close calls, but man, I'll tell you what, that was a heck of a performance by that team, and they really came in and gave it to Penn State, gave it to Ohio State, from start to finish. There was no point in that game where it felt like Ohio State was going to leave victorious.
So Purdue, you know, you look at the record, they're 4-3. They're just 4-3 now. Lost their first three games of the season, but just, I want to say hard luck, but just tight losses against Northwestern, against Eastern Michigan, which was the biggest surprise, at home against Missouri. But after that, they beat a ranked Boston College team, scored 42 points on the road against Nebraska, scored 46 points on the road against Illinois, whatever on those two things.
Yeah.
But then they come back and they score 49 points at home against Ohio State. It's a team that can score points, and I think it's still early in the rebuild, and I think you just have to look at Jeff Brohm as a guy who's a rising star in the coaching community, maybe to the point where Purdue loses him. I think that's where the conversation shifted after you win a game like this. They've won four in a row. They get a chance on the road against Michigan State. They get a chance at home against Iowa in the next 2 weeks. Things could get really interesting if this Purdue team is able to turn this into some momentum. And I want to touch on, obviously, the Big Ten East as we look forward. But the Big Ten West is suddenly, I don't know. I mean, interesting, I guess you can put it this way. Northwestern is 4-1 in conference play. Wisconsin's 3-1. Iowa's 3-1. Purdue now 3-1. Then you've got Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, all in the bottom there. But really, truly, anything could happen as we go down the stretch here. You've got a really good defensive team in Iowa that Penn State plays this week. You've got Purdue, who scored 250 points in their seven games so far. Northwestern backed into a win over Rutgers. It's really hard to see them sustaining anything here. Wisconsin, obviously, year to year, the favorite in this league. It's going to be an interesting finish in the Big Ten West to see who gets to play for the Big Ten.
There is no question about it. I mean, if I had to pick a favorite right now or a team that I think is going to come out of the Big Ten West, I think I might pick Iowa at this point, Dustin. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's close, and there's been so many ebbs and flows on that side of the division that I don't know, like, Northwestern had to come behind to beat Rutgers. I mean, come on. I know it was at Rutgers. I know that it's a boring, hard place to play because there's no environment. But, I mean, we spent enough time piling on old Pat Fitzgerald.
We haven't. I've got more.
So Northwestern's 4-1, and I think Wisconsin probably loses again. I actually think that Well, we'll get to predictions later, but my money would be on if Penn State's going to lose one of the next three, I think it's probably to Wisconsin. But, yeah, I don't know. I do think that, at this point in time, or I'm sorry, if they're going to win one of the next three, I think it'll be over Wisconsin. But at this point in time, you look at Iowa's schedule, Dustin, they're number 18 in the country. They're 6-1. I think if they replayed that Wisconsin game today, Iowa wins that game, but that's not how football works. But at Penn State, at Purdue, they have Northwestern, which will probably be for the Big Ten West, I would assume. And then they finish it out with Illinois and Nebraska. So they're definitely a little bit of an interesting team to maybe go to the Big Ten title game. And since it's looking like to me that Michigan will be the Big Ten East winner, I think Iowa might be the one team that can maybe beat Michigan. And God, would that game be boring if that's the Big Ten title game. Think about it. It'll just be 60 minutes of hoping the clock runs out. It'll be horrible.
It'll be the most physical tickle fight you've ever seen in your life. 10-9.
God.
I really think this weekend coming up for Iowa is a defining game in just a lot of ways. And that Big Ten West race, Wisconsin goes on the road to Northwestern. So you'll start to see some clarity here. Obviously, you're going to have one of those one-loss teams, at least one of them, come out of this weekend with two losses. But Iowa, is this the same old Iowa program, or are they going to sink back into the 8-4, 9-3 kind of thing? Or are they going to go to the next level this year? I think they've got the team to do it. I'm not so sure, though, the schedule they've played, if they're as good as what they look on paper.
I would agree with that. I would 100% agree with that. But you know what? It doesn't matter, because I don't know. Do you think the Big Ten's getting the playoff team in? I don't.
Well, so if both Michigan and Ohio State have one loss going into the final weekend, whoever wins that game is going to be in position to get in the playoff, I think. Certainly Michigan now, they're number 5 in the AP poll. They're right there. Their only loss is a quality loss to Notre Dame on the road at the start of the season before they started to change their identity, develop their identity a little bit. I think Michigan is the best bet, but then they're having to go on the road to Columbus to play that game against Ohio State. I think Ohio State can put a bad loss behind it. And it, regardless of what Purdue does the rest of the way, they lost badly on the road to Iowa last year, but that was their second loss last year. If that loss to Purdue is their only loss, I still think Ohio State can get into the college football playoff by beating Michigan and by winning the Big Ten title game. But at this point, boy, it's just hard to have that conversation about Ohio State. It's easier to have that conversation against Michigan. Interesting game even before it started against Michigan State on the road. They do that, the Spartan walk, where they are arm in arm across the field. There's some dispute about whether they did that later than they usually do, earlier than they usually do. Michigan players, a couple of them caught in the middle of the field, and they get into this altercation. Jim Harbaugh and Mark D'Antonio have some words after the game. On the field, though, I think it revives this rivalry a little bit. Now you look at Michigan. Penn State doesn't have a rival in the Big Ten. Michigan's got two really viable rivals in the Big Ten.
Yep.
They held Michigan State to 94 total yards in this game. 0-for-12 on third down. Brian Lewerke, the guy who led Michigan State to a win at Penn State, 5 out of 25 in this game. So I think it's fair to say that Michigan's defense is ferocious, and I think they are 100% for real. It's a factor. I also believe that you can call Michigan's defense the best single unit in the Big Ten.
Oh, no question about it.
And when that's on your side and they've got their offensive identity, which is kind of ball control, it's physical, it's going to be to run the football, Shea Patterson is capable of making enough plays to win games. I think he's shown that since Notre Dame. It's a team that I think is viable in the college football playoff.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue against it one way or the other. Yeah, I mean, at this point, I just wonder if, I just don't know if any of the other top four are going to lose. I mean, I guess Clemson's a little bit vulnerable. Otherwise, you know, I kind of could see, well, I guess one of LSU and Bama have to lose because they play in 2 weeks.
Yes.
So, but is that going to be enough to knock one of those teams out of the college football playoff hunt? I honestly don't know. But anyway, at this point, I guess LSU would have two losses, so they would have to be out. So, yeah, Michigan, Ohio State will, ultimately come down to it if LSU does end up losing to Alabama, which I think most expect. So, yeah, they probably get one. one. Because there's no one coming out of the Pac-12. There's, I mean, we're talking about, what, maybe six teams that have a chance to get in at this point. I don't even know if there's that many. So it could be the four we're talking about in the top four, and then Michigan is that's it. So,
yeah,
it'll be an interesting little thing to follow here. And it does impact Penn State from a bowl game perspective, because if they don't get one in, that means the top team goes to the Rose Bowl and everybody else gets knocked down a peg from there.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. We'll talk about the college football playoff a little bit later on in the week. You can check it out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com when we do talk about it. You said we were done talking about Northwestern. You spoke too soon. 18-15 over Rutgers. Rutgers led 15-7 in the third. They led 15-10 into the fourth. What an ugly way to win a football game. Northwestern still, though, 4-1. They're still you can't say in command, but they're still currently statistically the first place team in the Big Ten West. They're in position to play for a Big Ten title. They play Wisconsin this week. The Big Ten West might be on the line. If Penn State beats Iowa and Wisconsin beats Northwestern, you start to have some clarity. But Purdue is still a huge factor to consider in that Big Ten West race. Nebraska won their first game 53-28. I don't know if you had anything else to say about Northwestern there, but I wanted to touch on some of the other results in the Big Ten. 53-28. Both these programs, Scott Frost's first year at Nebraska, PJ Fleck first year at Minnesota, Jeff Brohm second year at Purdue. You know, you've got new coaches in the Big Ten West. A lot of programs had hope. Nebraska gets the better end of Minnesota. Nebraska also a lot earlier in the rebuild than Minnesota is. If you had to start a program, would you rather have Scott Frost or PJ Fleck?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. I can't stand.
I would throw Jeff Brohm in there, but I think that answer kind of speaks for itself.
Well,
right now.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, at this second in time, it would be Brohm. If I had to choose between PJ Fleck and Scott Frost, I think it would be Fleck. This isn't their way to pick a coach if that's your situation, but I still the disgusting that whole UCF national title claiming thing. So I would go with Fleck.
Nobody holds a vendetta better than you, Greg.
I absolutely.
He'll never get past that in your eyes.
Yeah, I mean, let's just make note of the fact that Derek Anderson started over Nate Peterman last Sunday, if we want to go back to vendettas. But anyway, I think that, you know, congrats to Scott Frost on finally winning at Nebraska. I do think that not enough people realize that they literally lost like three quarterbacks in the first week before the season started. Yeah. So, I mean, there was no one that was really set up to win in that situation. Not that they've been good in every area anyway, but, you know, it'll be curious to see. But it was certainly an interesting time in the Big Ten, and there's a lot to still figure out, especially on the West, which is good because the West is usually the one that's already decided by this time of the year. So it should be fun to follow that down the stretch.
I want to see Nebraska finish at 6-6 and play in a bowl game and start to give some hope to that Big Ten West, because everybody wins if the West gets better. You got Purdue rising. If you get Nebraska on the upswing, if Minnesota can get on the upswing, you might start to have a little bit of balance in the Big Ten. Currently, not really there. We'll see what happens as we head towards the finish line. We're heading toward the finish line, too, here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Ask Greg, our fourth and final segment, coming up after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.